position and angle of the Earth is a scientific phenomenon to see. A few degrees closer to the sun, we'd disintegrate. A few degrees further, we'd freeze. The axis of the Earth is tilted at a perfect 23-degree angle. It's no mistake that it is. This allows equal global distribution to the rays of the sun, making it possible for the food chain to exist. Or take, for example, the combination of nitrogen and oxygen in the atmosphere we breathe every day. It just happens to be the exact mix that life needs to prosper. It doesn't happen on any other planet that way. You see, the Bible says the invisible things of God are clearly seen through His creation. To believe this is not hard. If there's a design, there's a designer. If there's a plan, there's a planner. And if there's a miracle, there is a God. There is a hope. There is a light. There is an answer to all answers.
There is a flame that burns in the night. And I know.
Declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. If we allow our minds to drink in all the truth that just surrounds us, creation itself will help us understand. Did you know the moon controls the tides? It's the maid that cleans the oceans. Even the waves don't crash the shores in vain. The tides drag impurities into the depths of the sea. It's nature's constant recycling chain. It simply boggles the mind to think that the stars will rotate with such exact precision that it's true that the atomic clock with an error factor of less than 3 seconds per millennium is set by the way they move. Though they silently orbit, the sun, the moon, the stars are like celestial evangelists above, who circle the earth every 24 hours, shouting in every language that there is a God. Atheism is the wedge under the foundation of our faith, trying to topple our relationship with Christ. When the fool said in his heart there is no God, he rejects the truth God painted on the canvas of the night. Atheism has never created an artistic masterpiece, never healed a fatal disease or calmed a fear. Atheism has never still given answers to our existence, peace to a troubled mind, or even dried a tear. But it's God created heaven and earth and flung the stars in space and breathed in a handful of dirt and it became a man. It's God who sits on the circle of the earth and measures the mountains in a scale and holds the seven seas in the palm of His hand. It's God who sent His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary to save our souls from hell and the grave. It's God who creates, God who delivers, God who heals, and God who is worthy of a thunderous ovation of praise.
welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. That's a little bit of Carmen for you. There is a God. Touching on the very topic that we're going to examine tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about creation and evolution. That has been thrust to the forefront of the news media of late. As we start off a new year, I thought it was very interesting. That was one of the first things that came up here in 2008, that there was a book that was released and a lot of media surrounding it that basically had a tone of saying, hey, guess what? Evolution is fact. You might as well just accept that and move on. The debate's pretty much over. There's really no point in continuing this silliness about creation or intelligent design. It was released by the National Academy of Sciences. It's a book called Science, Evolution, and Creationism. Now, this is actually the third edition of a book/pamphlet that was first released back in 1985, which I find kind of interesting that they've basically been using the same material for the past 22 years to promote this. And it has once again stirred up that whole conversation about evolution and creation. And the main point of bringing this up again is the National Academy of Sciences has basically put its foot down and said that creationism and intelligent design should not be taught in public schools along with the science of evolution, that religion has no place along with science being taught in the classroom. Now, it's also very interesting that they went out of their way to point out that they're not against religion or faith. They think that's fine, but it's not the same as science and should not be taught in a similar fashion as science. And so tonight, I want to hear what you think about this. If this is the first you've heard of that, I'd love to hear your response. Or if this is something that you've been watching, it was a news item on World News on ABC. They also did a little piece on it on NBC. It's been on the internet. And it's something that is at the very core of for a lot of what we believe as Christians. And so we're going to examine that tonight, mainly from what you have to say. 505-338-5790 for your comments on this topic of creation and evolution, especially with evolution now being proclamated as having overwhelming and compelling evidence. And why would you think of anything else? So if you got a comment or an opinion about this evening, let us know. 505-338-5790. Evolution is overwhelming and compelling in its evidence. Therefore, there is no need for anyone to have any sort of other opinion about it. And creation and intelligent design should not be taught in the public schools. Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that it's necessary for us to acquiesce to this and say, okay, well, fine, if you got all the evidence, that's fine, go ahead, teach evolution in the school? Or do you think that we should take a stand? Is there a difference between evolution and quote-unquote religion when it comes to creationism and intelligent design? Does it really matter if we teach one way or the other about the origin of life in schools? Does that really matter at all? As we talk about science and biology in schools, when that gets to the idea of where did all this come from, should that even be brought up? As far as I can remember from most of my science classes, usually I enjoyed them until they got to the issue of origins, and then it seemed more like a philosophy class, regardless of whether you believed in evolution or creation. That just seemed more like the realm of philosophy than anything else, but studying individual species, that was absolutely fascinating. So what is your take on this whole debate as it's been renewed with new fervor from the National Academy of Sciences as we began 2008? 505-338-5790 for all of your comments and calling in. First, we have Ryan. Ryan, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Basically, what I wanted to say was, first of all, I came to Christ. I grew up and was raised in a very secular environment, went to prep schools and that kind of thing. So I had a very kind of intimate relationship with the scientific stance on how the earth was created and that kind of thing. And just what I wanted to say was, just from that stance, having come to Christ and being from that secular background, looking in, and that it's just, I think the fact that they want to push God out of the classroom is more of a testament to the accuracy that we find in the scriptures, mm-hmm. as far as prophetic statements and that type of thing. If you, as far as in the end times, the enemy will push knowledge of God and have confusion about God in every nation, and that people will stray from God. And I think it's just a testament and the revelation to how, in actuality, in the end times, we actually are this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what struck me about the idea of actually the scientific field putting their foot down and actually saying, no, we will, you know, it's not appropriate to have religion by science in the classroom.
You know, it's interesting because, like I said, they were very careful to point out that science and religion are not mutually exclusive. But this does seem a way of pointing out that religion really isn't all that scientifical. Now, let me ask you, Ryan, does it really matter? Why does this matter at all for us if they want to say that the evidence for evolution is overwhelming and compelling?
Well, it matters for us because it kind of, in part of our duty as Christians, it stacks the case against us in the world's eye, the public eye, to sharing the gospel. And part of the gospel is that the Lord's Son came to earth to die for our sins, and that the Father of that Son created the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to take an outward stance and to say just across the board that the evidence for evolution is overwhelming, thus negating the theory behind the creation theory and intelligent design is basically to say that don't listen to the Christian community. If you're out on the street, not just in the classroom, but if you're out on the street and you hear somebody say that, you know, then you'll have a case.
Well, that's a very good point, Ryan. Thank you so much for calling in and getting us started as we discuss this very important topic tonight here on Raw Talk. Thank you for your input.
No problem, man. God bless.
All right. Take care, Ryan. If you got an opinion that you'd like to share, give us a call, 505-338-5790, just like Ryan did sharing his opinion about this. And something I do want to make very distinct at the beginning of this conversation, creationism and intelligent design are not the same things. If you want to hear all the reasoning behind that statement, we did an entire Raw Talk on creationism and intelligent design not too long ago, and you can hear the archive of that Raw Talk online at m88.org. But do not mistake me. I am not lumping creationism and intelligent design together as one thing, because they are very distinct and separate from each other, and evolution is a theory that basically stands in opposition to both of those ideas of intelligent design and creationism. So please don't mistake me. I'm not saying they're the same thing, because they are not. We have Penny on the line next. Penny, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say about this whole debate about evolution having overwhelming and compelling evidence? Hello, Penny. You there, Penny? Penny, if you can hear me, give us a call back and share your thoughts as we continue to talk about the overwhelming and compelling evidence for evolution here on Raw Talk. And if you got an opinion that you'd like to share, give us a call, 505-338-5790. At the very core of all this that I'd like to find out from you guys, why does this matter at all? This is a topic that has continued to resurface, evolution and creationism. It's a debate that has been going on ever since Darwin put out his Origin of the Species booklet, and it's a debate that will probably continue until Jesus returns. Well, why does it matter? Why is this something that we should care about? Or is it something that we should care about? Should we just kind of push this back to page 17, not worry about this booklet that was released by the National Academy of Sciences, and just move on with our lives? So tell us what you think. 505-338-5790. Penny, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me this time?
I can hear you now, Penny. How you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right, Penny. Well, what were your thoughts about this?
Okay. Well, this is kind of a hot topic for me. It always has been since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory on this has always been that evolution should not be taught in school exclusively, because it is as much of a religion as creationism or intelligent design, because it takes so much faith to believe in it. There are holes in evolution. That's the reason why it's still considered a theory and not fact.
Mm-hmm.
And with any other theory that they teach in school in science, they teach every other theory that there is along with it, not just the one. So why should evolution be any different, that they only teach evolution and not the other things?
Mm-hmm. Well, in this booklet that they released, the National Academy of Sciences, I thought it was very interesting. They defined the term theory. Here's what they had to say. I'm quoting from the short pamphlet that came out. If you want to read this or read the entire 86-page book yourself, it is available at the National Academy of Sciences website if you'd like to go through it for yourself. But in the pamphlet, they say, quote, in everyday language, a theory means a hunch or speculation. Not so in science. In science, the word theory refers to a comprehensive explanation of an important feature of nature that is supported by many facts gathered over time. Now, what I think they're trying to point out here is that in science, a theory is more than just a guess. A theory is as close to fact as you can get. How do you feel about their explanation of theory in their pamphlet there, Penny?
Well, the same as with, you know, in physics and in the other kinds of sciences, the only reason why it's still a theory and not a scientific law is because they can't prove it. But once they prove it, it would become a law.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no way to prove it unless they are, you know, doing experiments and finding actual evidence that evolution is happening even now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this has been around for as long as it has, and they haven't found a way to prove it at all, well, there would be something, you know, if evolution is such a big process, then why aren't we seeing so much of it today? Why are people running around so worried about all the different groups of animals dying off when it's survival of the fittest, right?
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point, yeah.
So, you know, if that is the way that the world is supposed to work, if that's the natural way, then all of the animal rights activists need to just pack up their bags and go home.
And we shouldn't worry about global warming either.
Right, because we'll just go to another ice age and it'll all start over.
Well, there you go. I'm going to break out my snowboard and parka right now. I'm so relieved I don't have to be concerned about that anymore. Penny, thank you so much for your thoughts and your input tonight in our conversation.
Thank you.
All right. And one of the things that Penny pointed out that I thought was very interesting, she's talking about, you know, proving something that in a way that is testable. You know, one of the things that they do in science is when they can show that something is reliable and testable and so on, it goes from a theory to a law, like the law of gravity. However, in this pamphlet that the National Academy of Sciences recently put out, instead of calling it the law of gravity, they called it the theory of gravity. Now, I know it's just simple semantics, but I thought it was very interesting that after all the years of high school and college education that I have received, where I was taught about the law of gravity, the law of thermodynamics, the law of all these things, that now, when they're talking about the theory of evolution, they compare it to the theory of gravity. And because we all accept gravity, that's why we should accept evolution. Again, an interesting semantical structure there that I'm sure was intentional, but it was different from the way I was taught all these years when they were also trying to teach me evolution. We have Josh on the line. Josh, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? Hey,
hi.
Josh. Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make the point that they are actually right when they say creationism or intelligent design is not science.
Mm-hmm.
Because for something to be scientific, it has to be demonstrable, repeatable, provable,
mm-hmm.
which creation is not.
Mm-hmm.
However, neither is evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You can't repeat the evolutionary process. So in essence, they're telling us to accept this theory, but they have no more proof than we do.
That is an excellent point, Josh, and I absolutely agree with you. It's one of the reasons why I was always so irritated, especially in college, when I was treated like an intellectual moron for believing in creation, so simplistic. And yet evolution, oh, yeah, see, it takes true intelligence to understand that. But you're absolutely right. You can't prove either one. Now, so far as creation, intelligent design not being science, the distinction is creation, obviously much more biblically based. Intelligent design doesn't really necessarily have anything to do with creation and is, in fact, more scientific in its approach, like evolution is, than someone who believes in creation. So there's probably more of the science nature to the intelligent design movement than the creationism movement. But all three of them, I absolutely agree with you, Josh. It can't be proven.
There's still no more hard fact behind intelligent design than there is behind creation.
That's right. Now, how would you respond, you know, if we were to take this thought a little bit further, where you have a scientist who say, oh, that's true, we can't prove it. But the evidence, there's so much of it, it's all but provable. I mean, how do we respond when basically what they're doing with this new book that they're putting out is like, okay, maybe we can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, but there's so much evidence that why wouldn't you accept it? I mean, how would you respond to that, Josh?
Well, the thing is, I haven't seen... I'm really not an expert on the whole area,
mm-hmm.
but I have not seen convincing evidence of all these missing links that they're still missing after all these years
mm-hmm.
of evolution. I haven't seen enough proof to even justify, you know, not beyond a reasonable doubt, but not even to give any credence to the theory of evolution.
Hmm.
I haven't seen anything whatsoever.
You should take a look at their booklet. They try and pull out some evidence.
Yeah, I haven't seen the booklet.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's very interesting, but the thing that struck me about this pamphlet that was released by the National Academy of Sciences is it's not really anything new. It's the same arguments they've been using for a long, long time, worded a little bit differently, maybe slight variations in the examples, but still... Not a lot has changed in their arguments. Josh, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Appreciate your input.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Josh calling in. And if you'd like to add to this conversation about evolution and creationism or intelligent design, give us a call, 505-338-5790. What we're talking about is the National Academy of Sciences releasing this book called Science, Evolution, and Creationism, which basically puts a firm foot down in saying evolution is what is acceptable. There are no acceptable alternatives to evolution. Evolution is what should be taught in public schools and nothing else. That is the gist of what they are saying. They go on to say that there's nothing wrong with religious faith, but you cannot let religious faith cloud scientific reason. And it's something that has stirred me up. I was going to do something different for Raw Talk this Sunday. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. But this is something that I thought we should talk about instead. So if you have an opinion about this, evolution, intelligent design, creation, once again entering the ring for another throwdown match for supremacy, especially in the public schools, give us a call, 505-338-5790, if you have something that you'd like to add to tonight's conversation. Like Jacqueline, who has called in. Jacqueline, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Jacqueline?
Hello.
Hello.
I was calling because I feel that creationism should not be taught in a science classroom.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Okay. And the reason why that I say that is because they're, at least in a public school, the teachers who teach science classes do not have the same religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And to force them to teach creationism is not, I don't think that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that religion should not be taught and creationism should not be taught in the public school, but I think it should be taught in a classroom that, or in a class that is specifically tailored to different religions. So that people can get to know and see, have a diverse perspective of what the world, what is in the world.
Now, that's a very interesting stand to take. And let me ask you this, not that I disagree with you, I actually do agree with you, but I want to hear what you have to say about this. If, as you say, we should not teach creation in schools, then how should we help young people understand that there is an alternative theory to the theory of evolution if they're not going to learn it from the schools that they attend?
Well, I think that it shouldn't be taught in a science classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it should be taught in a classroom that deals with religion specifically.
Mm.
And that can be offered through the public school. But having, if you have a person, a teacher in the classroom who does not believe in it, and they're trying to teach the children about something that they don't believe, then are the kids really going to get the true message of what's trying to be conveyed?
Mm-hmm.
Are they really going to see that as another option? Or are they just going to, I don't know, I think that a teacher's opinion on a subject has a great influence about how well it's received by the students.
I absolutely agree with you, Jacqueline. I would not want a teacher who doesn't like creation, doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and is absolutely forced to do it, trying to teach my kids anything about creation, because who knows what they're going to learn about creation through that skewed point of view. But I do think that when it comes to, well, then how are we going to teach our kids creation? I would go one step further. It's like, well, I don't know if evolution should be taught as scientific fact. It does go into the realm of philosophy when you start talking about origins. When you start talking about origins of species, that's where the philosophical debate of all this enters. When you're studying species as they are, how they survive in their environment, how they adapt, all those types of things, well, sure, that's all observable, testable, repeatable, good science. But when you start talking about where all this came from, then perhaps, like Jacqueline has pointed out, we should move that to the philosophy classroom. I remember when I was in an astronomy classroom and I tried to bring up this idea, well, where did all this come from? My professor said, well, that's not the purview of science. We're not interested in where it came from, only what we can see, test, and observe. And yet, we kept talking about the Big Bang Theory and how that created all that we see. So it's a very interesting circular kind of double standard when it comes to the idea of just how much philosophy is involved in evolution. Thank you so much for your call, Jacqueline, and we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good night. Well, if you got an opinion about this as we talk about evolution, intelligent design, and creation, so far as what the National Academy of Sciences has said in their book, Science, Evolution, and Creationism. Let us know what you think about this whole debate, especially the idea that, okay, we can show that evolution has overwhelming and compelling evidence. The debate is over. Don't bother trying to teach kids anything else, because then you're just teaching them non-scientific mumbo-jumbo that won't benefit them or society. In fact, it's very interesting, as you go through the brochure that the National Academy of Sciences has released, they try to make a case for how understanding evolution and accepting it is what has helped us create the modern thriving society that we now live in, that it trickles down to everything from science to industry to just about every aspect of our life, that evolution is, in fact, the core column of life as we know it. And to remove that would take away all the great advances that we are coming across in technology and science and so on and so forth. We have Harold on the line. Harold, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? Hello, Harold.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, how's it going? What are your Good. Thoughts?
I'm out here in Albuquerque. And I would just like to say that I teach science.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get into the material and evolution, natural selection,
mm-hmm.
Most of the textbooks, when you read them, when they begin to talk about evolution, they throw in the words like perhaps, or it could have happened this way, or it's possible it happened this way. So I really don't have intelligent design written into the curriculum of my school, but when I point out these words and I ask the students, does this sound like science to you? When we clump these questionable words, inevitably the students start to ask about alternative theories, and that also gives me an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about the intelligent design movement.
Well, that's very interesting that you bring that up, because amongst all the work that they have released to support this book, Science, Evolution, and Creationism, one of the things they point out is, yeah, they don't have all the facts, but from what they can see, test, and observe, they can infer certain things. I thought that was a very, again, interesting semantical structure. They can infer. To me, that's just another word for having faith. You take what right. you see, and then you go a step further into the realm of what you can't see, but you do that with confidence because of what you observe. Well, that's what we as Christians do with our faith. But it sounds more scientific to say that they infer certain things. And so I appreciate you bringing up that idea of they're very careful in the semantics they use when they talk about evolution as science, don't they?
Right, yeah. And then you know, just recently, I read an article in one of the news periodicals for science, and it talked about finding 12 new species in this unexplored remote area of South America. And when they talk about new species, you know, you think that, you know, maybe they found something that could be an intermediate, so to speak, for, you know, between a land mammal and a water mammal or something crazy like that. But, you know, typically when they find new species, they end up finding, you know, just a fish or a frog.
Or an insect.
Or a different bird.
Yeah.
Or things like that. Because things that are not evolving, so to speak, as what science says they do.
Well, that's a good point, Harold. With all that stuff that they found in southern Indonesia as well, they actually found new species of mammals, which is extremely rare. They found over 100 new species of insects. And yet, as you point out, they're all basically variations of what already exists, not entirely new creations altogether. Thanks for calling in, Harold. I appreciate your perspective on this, especially as a science teacher. I appreciate you being bold enough to call in.
Thanks.
All right. Have a good evening, Harold. If you got an opinion that you'd like to share on this topic as well, 505-338-5790. Next up, we have Duncan on the line. Duncan, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I was just calling to say that some of those missing links that evolution has tried to fill in,
mm-hmm.
well, Darwin took two different fossils from two different archaeological sites to try and make one of those. So if they're that desperate, I don't think they're ever going to find anything.
Well, that's definitely a good point. And, you know, there, it always comes back to this idea of missing links. You know, they found this new species of fish that they say has flippers that look like feet, that they say this is one of those intermediate missing link fossils that shows that fish slowly evolved into land mammals that had primitive lungs, yada, 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 yada. And if you want to read more about, I can't even pronounce it. I don't know why they make such difficult names for all these things. It's the Tikatalik. And if you want to read more about that, there's stuff all over the web about that. Answers in Genesis, their website has something that talks about why this isn't necessarily a missing link for that particular thing. Now, you bring up a good point, Duncan, because here's my question. Forget about missing links in the fossil record, which is where most of this conversation is usually focused. Oh, we got to find missing links in the fossil record. My question is, where are the missing links today? You know, let's take the example of humans. Apes evolved into humans. Okay. We see apes. We see humans. Where's the rest of them? And why are they only fossils? Did we stop evolving? Well, that can't be, because natural selection says that that whole process should be continuing. So that's always been one of my curious questions. Have you ever thought about that, Duncan? Have you ever asked one of your teachers?
Oh, well, my teachers don't really try and do religion or stuff. But, yeah, that's exactly right. I don't think that they could ever find a half-ape, half-human. Like, if you watch TV, they'll have these shows that are trying to prove stories, eyewitnesses, that this guy saw a hunchbacked, really tall guy that kind of looked like an ape and it looked like a man. But it crawled like a man and stood, crawled like an ape and stood like a man.
Hmm. That was on Ripley's Believe It or Not, wasn't it?
Either that, but I was watching it on the History Channel.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they were trying to prove all these eyewitnesses of this tall ape-looking thing that one guy said looked like a man, but it crawled like a monkey.
I think they're just referring to one of my distant relatives, a cousin of mine. Just kidding. Just kidding. Duncan, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night. You have something you'd like to add to tonight's conversation as we talk about this whole new overwhelming and compelling evidence for evolution. Let us know what you think about this, especially so far as should then evolution be the only thing taught in public schools? Is that all our kids need to know about? 505-338-5790. We have Mark on the line. Mark, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What do you think about all this, Mark?
I think it's great that you are telling everybody about this, because without you, nobody wouldn't know anything.
Well, I don't know if without me no one would know anything, but certainly it's an important topic to bring to light, isn't it?
Well, yes, sir.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for that compliment. I appreciate you calling in, and I hope you take the time to learn about all this for yourself as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a good night.
All right.
Mark calling in on Raw Talk, and Mark brings up a very good point and one of the main reasons why I enjoy doing Raw Talk. The reason we talk about issues like this is because it's important for us to know why we believe what we believe. Why do you believe in creation over evolution? What difference does that make to us as Christians? Is there any compelling reason that Christians must believe in creation over evolution? And if you got thoughts on that, give me a call, 505-338-5790. Now, let me make one distinct point here that I'm sure some of you will find rather shocking. I do believe in evolution on a micro level. Not macro evolution, which means on a large scale, but on a micro scale, on a small scale, that species can adapt to their surroundings. We humans do it all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that I believe in speciation, that one species can evolve into a distinct and unique, completely different species, which is often what is associated with the word evolution. However, on the micro level, on the small level, species adapting to survive in their environment, I think that absolutely happens on a regular basis. And in fact, I would find it very curious if an all-knowing, intelligent God who loves his creation, who saw it and saw that it was good, would not create that creation with the ability for creatures to adapt and survive as long as possible. That would seem to be a very unusual thing to leave out when, as an all-powerful God, you're making creation. So I do believe in evolution, just not in evolution of one species into another species. We have Nikki on the line. Nikki, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you think about all this?
Well, I was just kind of commenting on the issue of whether or not it should be taught in the schools.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important to us as Christians for it to be taught in the schools, because that's one of the most influential places for our kids. And I also agree with one of the commenters earlier, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
You should either teach all of the theories at the same time or put it aside to a philosophy class, because they all basically have the same scientific basis, which is really nothing. It can't be repeated.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to point out so far as this whole process goes, let's be very clear. Science and evolution say that they approach things objectively, that they have no presuppositions. And the problem with creationism is that you presuppose a God, and therefore all the evidence that you examine has to fit that. I contend that evolutionary science has the same problem. They have their own set of presuppositions. A very old Earth, no intelligent design, that animals went from one species to another, that natural selection is the improvement of species, not the degradation of species, so on and so forth. And therefore, the evidence must fit their presuppositions. So let's be very clear. No matter how you approach science, I love science. Don't get me wrong. Science is great. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that whenever we approach science, we approach it completely, truly, objectively. We all have presuppositions about what we believe that is hardwired into the core of who we are. And people who study science for evolution are no different. And so I agree with you, Nikki. I mean, if nothing else, in the public schools, let's at least be clear in that. What is the starting point? Not science. The starting point is your presuppositions or your beliefs. Nikki, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your comments tonight.
Thanks.
All right. Excuse me. I'm coughing a little bit because, well, quite frankly, I haven't been feeling well. But I thought this was such an important topic that I better drag myself out of bed and make it in here so we could talk about this tonight. And if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, especially so far as, okay, well, what do we do with this? Evolution. Evidence is overwhelming and compelling. Do we as Christians just then roll over and forget about it? Does this really matter? Why does it matter what we believe about the origins of who we are and the universe around us? Why is that so important? If you have an opinion about that, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We have Marie on the line. Marie, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just wanted to say that I also agree with Nikki, and it's also really hard for me to agree with what the public schools are doing and teaching us. Just to put it in simple words, I guess you could say, everything that they teach us, I mean, we already know the truth. We already know what happened. We already know, basically. And so, yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, that you already know. One of the things that I've been put forth about why this book is coming out now is because a large majority of people in this nation, depending on what polls you look at, it's between 59 to 72, 75% believe in creation. And so some are saying, well, part of the reason the National Academy of Sciences is putting out this book now is because they're losing the battle of indoctrination. Despite decades of trying to indoctrinate people with the belief of evolution, that's not what people believe. For the most part, they'll say, yeah, I guess God created everything, or God directed evolution, or, you know, it's some variation on that. And so some people feel that evolution's fighting a losing battle. Now, isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting.
Thank you.
I guess it's just with, you don't really know what to believe anymore because there are so many different, I guess you could say, answers.
Mm-hmm.
To what we have in the world today. So a lot of people are just really puzzled.
They are really puzzled, which is why it's all the more important for us as Christians to say, you know what, there are answers that you can be sure of, and I can show you where to find them. You can find them in the Bible. Marie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your comments with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. And that idea of finding answers, this is very interesting. At the conclusion of the report from the National Academy of Sciences, their book called Science, Evolution, and Creationism, they conclude by saying that they don't discredit religion. And they basically say that science and faith are different ways of arriving at truth. Well, I find that very interesting that they would put that in there, because the whole problem is, depending on which way you go, evolution or creation, you're arriving at a different truth. Not the truth, not a truth, but different truths. Depending on what you believe affects what you believe is truth. And so how can they say that science and faith are different ways of arriving at truth, which sounds to me like they're saying, oh, we basically end up coming to the same truth. We just approach it differently, which we all know hasn't been the case. With evolution. And one of the things that I've always been bugged about is, like, despite the fact that this report has tried to sound very commendating to belief, to religious, to religion and faith, anytime I have confronted anyone of the scientific mindset when it comes to this issue, because I believe in a literal creation from the Bible, I'm always treated as if I'm a four-year-old right off the bat. There is no respect for people who believe in the Bible. We're not treated as intellectual equals because we believe in creation. And this just seems to reinforce that, despite some phrasing that makes it sound like, oh, we can all get along. Scott's on the line. Scott, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Well, I'm apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
I love discussing about, especially when it comes to creation and evolution, but one of the things that I have to say is that, as a fundamental, if you believe in Christ, if you are a Christian, you have got to fully endorse creation, because the fundamental truth behind it in the Bible. You cannot accept part of the Bible and then discredit another part.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that as a Christian then, it has to be the literal creation and don't even worry about something like intelligent design?
No. I think we need to take the Bible as it is. But I think that to a point that you have to acknowledge that there, like you said earlier this evening, and the difference between the micro and the macro evolution. I think they support each other in that the micro evolution and the creation story support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so as far as intelligent design goes, I think that's in a way trying to find a middle ground.
I agree with you, and that's one of the things I've not enjoyed about intelligent design is it seems like a way for Christians to have the best of both worlds. Again, let me be very clear. Intelligent design is more concerned with science than with belief and faith. Therefore, it can be a very useful tool for finding evidence to support creationism, but it doesn't go back the other way. In fact, intelligent design doesn't say who the intelligence is, nor does it care. All it says is that there is such a uniqueness to creation that some sort of intelligence must have created it. Could be aliens. Doesn't matter. Just that there was an intelligence behind it. If you believe in creation, you say it does matter what the intelligence was behind it. Scott, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts tonight.
Thank you. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. I appreciate that. And next up, we have Carlos on the line. Carlos, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
How's it going? I just wanted to kind of expound on the importance on what it is to believe in creationism. And the biggest farce, I believe, in intelligent design is it's gotten Christians nowadays to kind of second-guess the whole idea of who God is and what God has done for us. And it's almost like a strategy since the very beginning to uproot and to give a Christian kind of like a disregard for what the foundation of our faith is. And, you know, basically the foundation of everything we believe as a Christian has to do with creation and has to do with one God creating life as we know it and life as we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing with you know, I believe it, intelligent design is it's caused a lot of Christians and even young adults coming out of school and going into college to begin to kind of find this middle ground, like you were saying a little while ago, to where it's almost like they second guess the whole miracle of creation by a creator, mm-hmm. the way the Bible says it was done.
That's true. Carlos, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts tonight, man.
All right,
have a good night.
Bye.
Carlos calling in. If you got a comment that you'd like to share, we got about 9 minutes left before we wrap things up, so get your comments in now, 505-338-5790. And let me be very clear about something. I am not anti-intelligent design. As long as we understand exactly what intelligent design is, not another euphemism for creationism. I personally believe what the Bible says, literally. And that's what I go with. But I see the usefulness for intelligent design as a scientific approach to examining the literalness of the Bible. Also, as I said earlier, I believe in evolution on a micro scale, but I'm not someone who's going to say to a Christian who believes in evolution that, well, you're not really a Christian. You know, I don't want to go there. The important thing is for anyone who claims to be a Christian, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the fact that he paid for your price for the sins that you've committed when he died on the cross and rose again? That is what makes us Christian, not necessarily what we believe about the origin of the universe. Now, our beliefs about the origin of the universe can affect how we live our lives as Christians and affect our relationship with that personal God. But let's be very clear. What gets people saved is not what they believe about how the world came to be, but how Jesus Christ came to save all the people in the world. And we must never lose sight of that, even when we engage in a debate such as evolution, creationism, intelligent design. We have Caleb on the line. Caleb, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey,
Caleb.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Caleb? What do you have to say about tonight's discussion?
I just had to say, like,
for the question of it being taught in schools, though I'd like to see creation taught in schools, anybody handling it that's not a Christian, I think, would do a terrible job, and therefore neither should be taught.
What?
And just that if you look at... If you look at the biasness, like evolutionists and creationists, a lot of them look at the same information and then draw separate points depending on what they've been brought up to believe.
That's very true, and that's actually one thing that's not discussed very often. And actually, you know, you bring up a good point, Caleb, so far, and we've mentioned this before, but a thought just occurred to me about the idea, well, I wouldn't want someone who really doesn't believe in creationism to teach it anyway. Well, then, why not have people be encouraged as Christians to be teachers? We need believers to be a part of the public school system and help teach kids. I understand why people like to homeschool their kids, but perhaps another solution for why people homeschool their kids is to get more believers into the public school system to be teachers. So they can encourage kids subtly through their beliefs. It's one of the things my dad has done in his retirement. He spent most of my life in the military as a chaplain, and now he's a teacher at a school encouraging kids through mathematics, of all things, but still relating to them through his beliefs as a Christian. Thank you so much for calling in, Caleb.
Sir.
I'm going to try and get these last couple callers in, all right? All right.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say for a teacher, because I've been looking into that myself, to being one, but... From what I'm told by other Christians is that you should be a math teacher because if you teach science, you're forced to teach that stuff, and they don't let you teach anything else, and so you risk getting kicked out and whatnot. And so for a Christian, pretty much the only place you can teach is as math, so that way you can't touch their philosophy.
All I would have to say in response to that, Caleb, is something that I saw this summer during a movie with big, giant, transforming robots. No
yes,
sacrifice,
sir.
No victory. Sometimes,
yes,
sometimes we have to take a little risk. Thanks so much, Caleb.
You have a good night.
All right, you too. Next up, we have Phil. Phil, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, hi.
Hi.
My name is Cyril.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. And I'm from France, and I just want to say that I did all my college study in France, and I learned all about the Darwin theory.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to the United States, I was shocked that that there was a separation between the people believing in God's creation against the Darwin theory.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get here, I had the thinking that in France, that were a lack of knowledge about the Bible and about all the creation. So when I came here, that's when I got saved. And I totally understood that God's creation, I mean, God created everything, and it didn't really matter about all the rest of the evolution issues that scientists keep saying and saying that the creation doesn't exist. So just a thought, you know?
No, that's a great thought. And let me just say how cool it is that part of your coming here to America was coming to Christ, and it's good to have you as a part of the family, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, and, you know, that's an excellent point as well, and one I was trying to make earlier. You know, really, the thing that we must not lose sight of is people don't get saved by what they believe about how the earth was created. They get saved by understanding that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins and rose again from the dead so they might have eternal life. And while we as Christians might want to share our opinion about creation and evolution, the number one thing we should be known for is that very thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for that reminder. All right, you have a good night. All right. And next up we have Brian. Brian, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the fact that our God is just so much bigger than science. I don't know. I've been thinking about it the whole time. I'm driving back to Roswell from Albuquerque and just listening to this. And I just they're trying to put God in a box a lot of times. They want to say that, you know, they're separate but equal things, you know, but that religion shouldn't be taught in the classroom. But it's not totally discredited. Is that right? That's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah, they're basically saying, hey, you know, evolution is what's true, but you know, religion is good too. And in fact, religion often helps enhance science, and vice versa. So they're very careful about how they worded their feelings about religion.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. If they're willing to accept that religion has merit, you know, but they're trying to also say at the same time that science, the science of evolution is absolute, it just doesn't really make sense. And
I agree with you, Brian.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't really make sense at all. And I just wanted to say that, you know, our God is way bigger than science even. And, you know, if you can prove God or you can whatever, it just, it doesn't, it's not a God I would want to worship, really, if you could prove him, really.
Right.
Because that, like, puts him in a box, and it just doesn't, it doesn't merit worship to me, really. That's why our God, you can't prove him or disprove him with science. And it just gives me awe. You know, he's just so awesome. And I just kind of wanted to say that.
You know, that's a great point, Brian, and a good point to help bring our program to a close tonight. Thank you so much for sharing. All right, Brian, and drive carefully, Brian, as you travel on the road. All right, Jane is on the line, our last caller of the evening. Jane, welcome to Rock Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hi. I just like to say I am a Christian, but I think that possibly, like, neither of the two should be really taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we teach, like, creism in school,
mm-hmm.
then the non-believers' teachers, they might, like, twist it somehow, you know?
That's right.
And twist our faith a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, the students won't really get anything out of it.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And hence my call for maybe we should just get more Christian teachers.
My teacher is a really strong Christian, actually. She's really strong in her faith. But... yeah, I just like to say that, and evolution, if we teach that in school, it rouses up arguments between the Christian faith also.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian teacher might, like, twist it a little bit at times.
I absolutely agree with you, Jane. Those are excellent points. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you have a great evening.
No problem. You too.
All right, well, thanks, everyone, for calling in as we talk a little bit about this. Again, if you want to read more about what the National Academy of Sciences has said... they have their pamphlet and a summary and the book available at their website. The book is called Science, Evolution, and Creationism. Of course, there's been lots of responses from the intelligent design side. They have put out their own pamphlet to respond to this book that the National Academy of Sciences has put out. And you can find that at the Intelligent Design website. And then Answers in Genesis, who have built a creation museum, by the way, they also have put out some responses to some of the points made in this. So there's lots of material for you to explore. One of the things that one of the people from Answers in Genesis said, you know, if the evidence for evolution is so overwhelming and compelling, then why are evolutionists so defensive about it? You think people would be interested. You think they'd be happy to have challenges and say, well, go ahead, challenge it. But our evidence... and yet they seem very almost scared and defensive about this. One final point I want to make, even if evolution were true, let's just make that crazy assumption, how does that change our need for a savior? In my mind, if anything, that would make God's love and grace for us even more profound than ever before. I mean, think about it. If we are not his special creation, but rather random chances that just happen to be, we're a distant cousin of a monkey who's here by a mistake, and yet God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, to pay the price for our sins so that we could live forever. Well, that just makes God's love that much more amazing. However, it is nice to know that God created us specifically and with a purpose, that we're not accidents. We're not random. We are here for a reason. And I find a great deal of comfort in that. So thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. I'm actually working on getting some experts to join us on Raw Talk here in the near future to talk more about this from an expert's point of view, as I am not an expert in this field, but I have done a lot of reading about it. And next week, I think what we're going to do, if I remember my schedule correctly and the delirium of my fever, we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and how having the Holy Spirit in your life can help make 2008 a great new year. I believe that's what we're going to talk about. Pretty sure. Also, we're going to have Ron Rhodes back later this month. Talk a little bit about what's happening in world events and how that lines up with biblical prophecy. So that'll be coming up later this month as well. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Have a great evening in the Lord.